What is good, everybody? Welcome to this Wednesday, August the 26th, getting closer to that preseason finale for the Saints on Friday in Dallas. Steve Geller along with Mario Jerez bringing it till 6 p.m. Then our guys at Tulane Stadium, Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, and Jeff Nowak on the sideline taking over that Saints practice going on in front of fans. The final one for all you Hoodettes to go check out. I'm sure tickets are still available. Plenty of seating there. NewOrleansSaints.com. To reserve your seat, it's a 7 o'clock start with 6 o'clock, the gates opening over there. You can get inside Yulman Stadium. Check out Tulane and as well as seeing the Saints practice one final time before they get into regular season mode. Just before getting on air, I'm sitting down. My phone goes off, an ESPN alert. And what do you know? That the NFL Pro Bowl is no longer as a competition, turning just the distinction into a pure individual performance award. That means no more games. The league's no longer going to hold any type of Pro Bowl event, including tackle or a flag football game. Exactly 88 players will receive the Pro Bowl designation each season as a formal accolade, and then the era of using replacement or alternate players to fill out rosters is over. Instead of a game, honored players will be invited to an annual in-person celebration in Los Angeles. And now why the NFL's made the move? Well, fan and player enthusiasm waned significantly over recent years. Too many player opt-outs led to questionable alternate selections. Shedeur Sanders as a Pro Bowler last season.
Ha! Good times.
And also, now the focus, the league wants attention shifted directly to honoring the best players of the season rather than a low-stakes exhibition game. That's a little, I guess, jarring to think it's finally over and done with and gone, but I think so many people would agree it's about time, because as much as you might say, oh, I'm going to at least tune in for a little bit, it really wasn't an interesting matchup at all.
Yeah, it's just watered down. We've come a long way from the NFC running a fake punt and the punter getting lit up by Sean Taylor. I'll never forget watching the Pro Bowl as a youngin' and seeing that. But it's just really watered down compared to what it used to be. Like, I remember like trying to look for Saints players' helmets during that game.
Because exactly,
That was kind of a cool deal, but it's not the same game experience anymore. And there's still something to be said for being named a Pro Bowler. I'm glad they're keeping the distinction, but the game is just not what it used to be, and I think it's better to keep it in the past.
Yeah, it seems like we say that about college and the NFL. The game's not what it used to be anymore. College for a different reason, but I digress. Looking at this Pro Bowl now, the looking back on things as well, it used to be in Honolulu in a big-time event. And I know the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert would talk about how, yeah, it would be a competitive matchup. And nowadays, yeah, I mean, nobody wants to get hurt in an exhibition matchup.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the right or wrong answer from those players, but at the end of the day, it's just not the way that it used to be. And if it's not going to be a high-caliber, high-quality game, if it's not going to be football's version of the All-Star game, then there's really no point, even if you're going to make it flag football or make it two-and-touch, heck, at this point.
I would be still interested in maybe like a skills competition. I used to enjoy that back in the day. Not actually even the current ones, though. They were all right. But I remember like the QB challenge of throwing it at the targets or the longest throw. I was always interested in seeing that. These latest ones were just okay with the tug of war and the dodgeball kind of things. Not so much with that. But maybe somehow a skills competition could still be in the mix. But right now the NFL not going to be doing anything competitive. Just an honor that 88 players, like I mentioned, will be recognized.
Yeah, that'd be funny if at the recognition they just started like a pickup game, and that would be the new version of the Pro Bowl. But that's probably the best version of that we're going to get.
We also got a joint statement from the NFL and the NFLPA today that for the last several months, they've been working together to update the league's on-field accountability system. Clubs were briefed on the changes at today's meeting in Atlanta, while player leadership was briefed and voted on changes at Board of Player Representative meeting on Tuesday. The goal, simple, make the game safer by focusing discipline on the techniques most likely to result in player injury rather than players who make isolated mistakes during competition. Beginning now this season, folks, they're going to place greater emphasis on 5 player health and safety rule violations. That's the hip drop tackle, the horse collar tackle, launching, hit on a defenseless player, and a blindside block. Players who commit now 3 of these offenses in any of those categories any 3 categories during the season are going to be suspended for 1 game. Players who commit 1 violation receive 50% of the fine back at the end of the year.
Man, I think it's probably a good thing, you know, responsible, if anything, good PR for the NFL. But I remember when they implemented the hip drop thing, whether it was last season or two seasons ago, they said that was going to make like tackling impossible. And I don't think that really happened. So I'm with the added safety measures, especially with all the new information that's coming out with CTE and recent NFL players suffering from it, like a big part of them.
Yeah, obviously, you know, these are multi-million dollar guys and they're trying to keep their top players, all the players on the field. We've seen too many injuries even occurring in practices where there isn't even contact right now. We've seen the Saints just been riddled with stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah, and this, I think, extends to life after football also. You know, you see a lot of guys, I don't know if you know many former players, but those guys had to go get their heads checked, like, constantly. So I think it's good for the current game, try to avoid some of those injuries, but also for the players' long-term future.
Looking at some Saints news today, mentioned injuries. They did sign two veteran DBs, Michael Davis and David Long Jr., filling two open spots on the 53-man roster after they placed running back Ty Chandler and tight end Maliki Matavale on injured reserve. We know cornerbacks Quincy Riley is dealing with an injury. Lorenzo Styles Jr., the rookie, has been sidelined. Rajon Wright's already on IR with a hip injury. Both new additions also have experience in Brandon Staley's scheme. Michael Davis is 6'2", 196 pounds, 31 years old. His background, undrafted out of BYU in 2017, spending his first seven seasons with the Chargers, 1 year with Washington, then 11 games with the Saints last year. So he's got experience in New Orleans, 133 games total in his career, 337 tackles, 8 interceptions, 70 pass breakups, a sack, and 30 special teams tackles. Last year, he was almost exclusively a special teamer for the black and gold as a gunner on punts, just 9 defensive snaps and 4 coverage tackles across 11 games. He finished last season on IR with a shoulder injury that he suffered in Week 17. That Staley connection I mentioned, he played under him for 3 seasons with the Chargers when Staley was the DC, then the head coach. He already knows the terminology and expectations, I guess, from the defensive coordinator now with the black and gold. And just you look at it as a reliable veteran, immediate impact on special teams, and gives the coaches a known commodity if they need an extra body in the secondary there in this final week here. I guess after Friday's game, we'll start getting down to cuts.
Yeah, and there's a very good chance they will need those bodies with all the injuries across the team. And the good thing with those guys, they have familiarity with the Saints in one case and with Brandon Staley. So at this stage in the game, you appreciate them having those qualities at least.
Yeah, more background on the David Long Jr., the other DB, 5'11", 196 pounds. He's 28 years old, was a third-round pick of the Rams back in 2019 out of Michigan. He's been to the Rams, the Raiders, the Packers, the Colts, the Panthers. Brief recent stint with the Giants, waived with an injury settlement earlier this month before he tried out for the Saints. His career numbers has played in 80 games, 94 tackles, an interception, 8 pass breakups, 6 playoff games with the Rams as well, including a pick 6 in 2022, the wild card win over Arizona. In 2025, last season, was elevated from the Carolina's practice squad, and the connection with Brandon Staley overlap with Staley when the latter was with the Rams as the defensive coordinator in 2020. A former mid-round pick with playoff experience, bounced around as a reserve corner and a special teamer. Low-risk add for a team that already speaks his defensive language. So two depth pieces, obviously, for the Saints. It's nothing that you're looking for to immediately come in and contribute here, but seeing if they can make some noise here in these final practices leading up to Friday. And TikTok, I know it's not much time. Even with the addition of a kicker and David Carlson, it's going to be curious to see, can he really win a job in just these least couple of days? I know things haven't been so great in the kicking competition going on with the Saints, but it just seems such a short amount of time to try and lock up that spot.
Yeah, but with him, it's the same thing, just having that experience. This is somebody who's been on the same team the last 8 seasons, and yes, he tapered off towards the end of last year, but he's familiar with the process. I think he knows how to lock in at this time of the season. So if anybody's going to unearth Smith or Tanner Brown, somebody like that would probably be the guy, not some guy who hasn't been kicking for a really long time and is essentially coming off the street.
The only thing that what concerns me with Carlson coming in is the fact you look at his last 6 years, each of those years, his field goal makes percentage has dropped.
Yes, I saw that. And he only missed five kicks last year, but some of them were in big moments, like a bad extra point, a missed field goal in a tight game in the fourth quarter. It's not equivalent, but it reminds me a little bit of Will Lutz when the Saints let him go, in that his numbers were really good. He tapered off a little, and it was a risk to let him go, which the Saints, in my opinion, did pay for at the time. And hopefully the Raiders pay for letting him go if he does end up winning the Saints kicking job.
Yeah, I understood the Saints there, too. You were kind of going through this quote-unquote rebuild, so you're trying to save some money, and why not bring in a younger option, a kicker? But we've seen over the years that punter and kicker competition has just been so unsteady, and maybe Saints fans and people here realize even more now, if you didn't, you know, weren't locked into it, how important special teams can be for a team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they kind of learned that the hard way with Blake Groupie, which is why we were in this situation in the first place. So, yes, kicking a very mental position. Hopefully somebody for the Saints gets it together before the regular season starts.
What's wild with Groupie, though, we know he went to Indianapolis. I don't think he missed a kick when he went over there.
Yep, nope, that's just how it goes sometimes, unfortunately.
We're going to take a break, come back with more of our sports talk, talking about the black and gold. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joins us. We'll get the latest news and views on the black and gold heading into the preseason finale, plus a little of what he's expecting in that practice tonight at Tulane Stadium. Keep it locked right here on WWL. Be back after this, folks. Welcome back into Sports Talk. If you love football, you're going to love this. Get ready for Win It Wednesdays on WWL. You can win tickets to Saints, LSU, or Tulane football. Just listen for Win It Wednesday code words from Tommy in the 9 o'clock hour, Newell at noon, and then Scoot in the 3 p.m. hour. Remember, Tommy for Tulane, Newell for LSU, and Scoot for Saints. Enter the code words at WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the next home game. Saints, LSU, Tulane, Win It Wednesday. Great contest happening right now on WWL. We're getting ready for a Saints practice at Yulman Stadium tonight. The black and gold will then travel out to Dallas tomorrow. I almost said California, but they're going to Dallas, taking on the Cowboys. Over there on Friday night, we'll have all that coverage for you. Joining us now is Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who just got back from Cal and is ready to pack his bags again for Dallas. Jeff, how you been doing, man? Do you even know if you're, like, coming or going at this point?
No, it was funny. You were about to say California, and I was about to say it with you, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not right. We're going somewhere else. It is funny. It dawned on me, like, this is the first preseason game in a while that the Saints have just traveled there and not had any other kind of weird circumstances around it. Like, every other road preseason game in the last, like, 3 or 4 years has been either a joint practice or they were out in California for an entire month type situation. So no, it's a little bit of a whirlwind coming back in California, week in California, immediately going out to Dallas and then having this practice in between. But I'm sure the team kind of feels the same way, but we're getting down towards the end. We only got a couple days of camp left, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, the countdown coming for roster cuts definitely will be on everyone's radar soon. And when you look at some of these positions, is there anyone to you that's kind of, you know, stood out with players that's going to be the hardest to trim down right now?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, I think the injuries, while complicating a lot for the Saints in terms of how they're going to, you know, try to win games, with Jordan Tyson not there and Brian Brzee and Dylan Radin's going down, I think to some extent from a roster perspective of, like, how you're going to get through cuts on Sunday, it makes things a lot less complicated at a few positions, namely running back, right? Like, I'm pretty sure you're going to have Jordan Tyson and Devin Neal would be the other one who you can throw on IR prior to cuts and have them designated to return. You can do that with two players. And, you know, if you do that at running back, suddenly, you know, you can keep four and still have Devin Neal as a kind of option down the line, and not have to worry about how we have to cut Audric Estime or somebody like that. So I kind of think that position becomes a little less complicated. Ty Chandler also to injured reserve. You brought in Zamir White. So I think he's probably a player that, while I have a hard time finding a roster spot for him, I do think this is a really important week for him to show Saints coaches that he's worth keeping around. Think about Audric Estime last year, right? You didn't add him to the practice squad until midseason, but by the end of it, he was just starting running back for week 17 and 18. So making the roster out of camp is not necessarily the only way you can impact the team. And then the wide receiver position, I think the question you're trying to answer is, do you keep five or six? And if you keep six, who is the sixth? Bub Means is the player that I feel like it's his roster spot if they do keep six, and he's got to go out there on Friday and kind of show that he can stay healthy. And if he can do that, I feel good about it. Otherwise, I think it's a pretty straightforward kind of situation, at least until what I would imagine is a pretty busy Saturday in terms of calling around and seeing who's available and maybe who's going to shake loose and swinging maybe a couple trades like you did last year.
Jeff, looking at that running back room, you know, I know they just traded for Zamir White. You got a quick glimpse of him yesterday, but from what you're seeing and hearing right now, how much involvement do you think we'll get to see of White in action on Friday against Dallas?
I think the idea is you get him involved a lot. Now, we don't know at this stage. We're recording this, or we're doing this prior to the practice, right? I think Kellen will tell us after practice whether starters would go or not. He said that they were going to have those discussions yesterday and kind of make a decision. And I think you'll probably see at least some starters. But the second half of this game, it's going to be guys like Zamir, guys like C.J. Donaldson, and it's going to be on Zamir to at least make coaches feel confident that they're going to send him plays and he's going to know what to do. He's going to understand the language. You know, it's not a particularly complex playbook, but, you know, there may be different tags that, you know, in San Francisco, it was something else. In Las Vegas, it was something else. So it's going to be a couple, probably a 48-hour kind of cram session for him. Because if they're confident in sending him out there and knowing that he's not going to, you know, get the quarterback killed because he misses an assignment, I think he'll play a lot. And again, I think it's important for him to show coaches, you know, that burst, that like one cut and go speed that the Saints could benefit from down the line. Because, you know, I think one of the benefits of getting him in here early is, you know, whatever team cuts you, they're going to, and they want to keep you on the practice squad, they're going to be like, hey, just stick around. Whatever your hotel room is, stay there. And we'll call you in 24 hours. Well, if he's out in San Francisco and you're the Saints, that's a little bit more of more difficult of a conversation to have. He's already out there. So having him here, letting him know the coaches, I think that makes that process a little easier, even if you're not keeping him on the initial roster.
Another addition to this team with the signing of kicker Daniel Carson. So three guys now in competition to be the place kicker for the black and gold. I was kind of talking about this, you know, with Mario in the first segment of the show. It's like, how doesn't have much time to prove his worth, that he's the guy for the team to come regular season time right now. What do you think Carlson has to do in this limited practice action and then come the game on Friday to show the Saints he can be that reliable guy come week one?
Yeah, it's tough to say the game is going to have a huge impact because you just don't know. Like, think about what happened last week. You didn't get a kick attempt until the last seconds of the game, and then it was Tanner Brown with a 38-yarder. Like, you can't guarantee that all three guys are going to get kicked, so it's tough to put the competition onto that game. I think a lot of it's going to come down to this practice, and in my opinion, if he goes out there and makes all of his kicks, he's your kicker. And it seems a little unfair to the guys who have been here, but that's the rub, man. You either get the job done or you don't. Daniel knows all about that. He was a fifth-round pick back in 2018 of the Vikings. He made it through 2 weeks and then got cut because he missed two kicks in overtime. Like, this second-year player gets cut because he had a bad day. And that's just the life of being a kicker. He understands that just as much as anybody. But it does put a lot of pressure on this kicking session, because if you go out there and you only make like three of five, or however many, I don't know however many they're going to actually get to kick, but say they kick five and he makes three of them and he looks bad, well, that changes the equation again. And then maybe you do push things to the preseason game and you see what shapes up. But I don't think you bring Daniel Carlson in at this point unless he's the guy that you're hoping takes control of that situation.
Hey, Jeff.
Otherwise, you would have just waited and gone.
Sorry to cut you off. Sorry to cut you off there, man. But sticking with the special teams, it's interesting a kicker right now. But the Saints think they have their guy with Ryan Wright at punter, and they hope for an upgrade at that position. Obviously, kind of up and down in that first game. Had a good punt, had that 15-yard kick or whatever it was. But what have you made of him throughout the offseason?
I think he's dialing it in a little bit. You know, I think he's the type of guy that. He's been in the league long enough that in the preseason is when you try some stuff out, you know, and maybe that results in some suboptimal kicks, you know, and then you get into the season and you kind of go bread and butter on a lot of stuff. But no, I think his leg is elite. You know, he's got great hang time. He can control the ball. You send him out there and he understands what he's looking at and what he needs to do. I think Phil Galliano is going to be very excited to have him in that role, because he's going to make the entire special teams unit look a lot better. And, you know, every punter is going to have the occasional mistake, miss hit. It's got to be very few and very far between when you're getting paid what Ryan is, because that's why you go out and sign a guy to that big money contract for a punter. I think he's like the sixth highest paid punter in the league. But I think he's just going to be very consistent. You're not going to be concerned about throwing him out there. Hey, can you not shank this one? You know, you don't have to worry about that weekly 30-yard kick that seemed to be programmed last year. So, now I'm excited about Ryan. I mean, he's as excited as you can get for a punter, right? Like, there's only so much they can move the needle, but he's going to be a good player for them.
Looking at the competition at quarterback for QB2, I should say, there's been really, I guess, no separation, you would say, right now, looking at Zach Wilson and Spencer Rattler, especially since last game against the Rams, everything kind of fell flat. How much do you think that this, you know, game against Dallas is going to determine who ends up earning that number two role?
I kind of disagree. I think Spencer is ahead. And I think Spencer played a lot better in that game than Zach did, regardless of the score. I mean, you just look at
100-yard pick six
of the offense. Well, yeah, you had one play that you wish you had back. Otherwise, you had an offense that generated 4 first downs in the first half, and that one drive to start the second half, you had 4 first downs on it. Like, you can critique what Spencer did in that game, but when you look at the overall results, it wasn't that close. So I don't know. I kind of feel like it's Spencer's job to lose at this point, and that could change. I mean, I think it does matter what happens in the preseason finale. It'll be interesting to see how they split up the reps. But I'm kind of back where I was prior to week one of the preseason, which is, you know, it's Tyler's job, and then you have a backup in Spencer, and you have probably a practice squad candidate in Zach, who you're going to try to keep around because there's value there. I just don't know how much you're going to try to drag this out from a situational perspective. If Spencer goes out there this week and just completely stinks it up, then maybe you revisit, or I revisit in terms of my opinion. But for now, I mean, I feel like Spencer's the guy.
Yeah, and I think for me, having that little bit of extra experience, I guess, with Kellen Moore's offense from last season, I would lean also sticking with Rattler at this point, just because, I mean, with Wilson, there's been the one flash in the first game of the preseason against Jacksonville looked kind of good coming in after Spencer kind of struggled, but then he got the start against the Rams, and I mean, I know there were a lot of things went wrong that day, but there was just nothing good coming out of that when he was running the offense.
No, both guys, you wish it had gone differently. I think they both quarterbacks kind of got let down by the supporting cast, right? Like the Saints had a good drive going to start the game, and then you get the Jeremiah Wright personal foul, and that puts you in 3rd and 16. You're just not converting 3rd and 16 very often, right? It's a miracle if you do. And so that kind of kills a drive right there. Next drive, you know, you get a holding penalty. He actually converts that on a throw to Malik Imanaval, and then you get a sack. And then you get an offensive pass interference, so you're back in like 2nd and 28. Like, you know, there are mitigating factors to both sides. You had Spencer Rattler goes in. You know, obviously he's responsible for the pick six. It was ugly, and he's got to own that. But then you have a drive down to the 5-yard line, and you get a fumble from the running back. You have another drive into the red zone. You get a drop from a receiver. You miss a chip shot field goal. So I don't know. Like I don't think the Saints should be satisfied with what they've gotten out of their QB2 spot. I think you still would like to see a bit more consistency. But I don't think there's that much controversy in the idea that you just want to kind of keep the deck how it was set prior and kind of just have the depth set behind him. And who knows, maybe you do have three quarterbacks on the roster at some point this season or even coming out of camp. It's not how I would set it up, but it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility that they go that way.
You were out in California. You got to see all the workouts, the joint sessions as well. With considering the work that the Saints got out there and now coming back here as they get ready to wrap up preseason play, Coach Jeff Nowak, what are you going to do? Are you playing starters on Friday, or are you kind of keeping them back, holding them for the regular season? Considering, too, I don't know if you factor in all the injuries that have piled up for this team as well.
I play any starter that's not dealing with any sort of, and I mean any sort of ailment, right? Like, Cesar Ruiz probably could play if you needed him to. I'm not playing him because he's got whatever degree of injury his ankle is, like, it's just not worth it. But anyone who's 100% and can go out there, I want to see at least one series. I just do. I just don't see I guess, like, wrapping guys in bubble wrap, there's a tendency to want to do that. But I've always said, like, I don't think you can protect people from the game of football if you want them to be football players for you. Like, you have to send them out there and let them play. And I think it would be good for this offense. It would be good for – and they're not going to make this decision based on the fans, but it would be really nice for the fans to see that offense go out there and see what it looks like and hopefully has success. I don't necessarily want to see them for in the entire half or even the entire quarter. Like, I want to see them go out there, and if they go 3 and out, you know, maybe send them out there for a second drive. I think somewhere between 15 and 25 snaps would be reasonable. And then from that point, and if that's a lot of it's on the opening drive, then you can get them out after that opening drive and just go about your business the rest of the way. But I do think there would be value in doing that. And just for Tyler to get on the field with kind of this, I guess it's not really new. There's really not a ton of new pieces, but you know, in that kind of dynamic of being the QB1 starting the season, building that muscle memory, I think there would be value, but we'll have to see what the Saints decide.
And lastly, tonight, I know you're heading out to the practice field at Tulane to see this open session in front of the Hoodats. What can we expect the team to be going through today? I know it's not going to be a full padded practice tonight.
Yeah, I would expect them to get into some situational stuff. I think that a lot of time is going to be devoted to kicking, maybe a little bit more than normal, because you got three kickers that you're going to try to work in, assuming all three kick. So that'll honestly be one of the more interesting things we watch, because you got Daniel Carlson going out there and probably having the most pressure-packed practice session of his career.
Right.
I don't think that's even being hyperbolic. I really think that's true. I don't think he's ever had this type of pressure on one practice before. And we'll see how he handles it. But I think you're going to see some situational stuff. Chris Olave went down late in yesterday's practice. Kellen Moore said he's kind of got the wind knocked out of him. He left with a trainer. So, you know, hopefully you see him out there. And I think it's going to be that. I think they're going to put like a score up on the scoreboard and a ticking clock, and you're going to see the team try to execute. I don't think you'll see one-on-ones or anything like that. They haven't been doing that lately. That was more of an early camp thing. And I think they're going to try to put on as much of a show for the fans as they can, while also making sure guys are comfortable and protected and not putting anybody at too much of a risk. So we'll see. It should be a fun time. Hopefully it's not too hot.
Jeff, you're definitely going to have to let me and Mario know about Chris Olave. Both of us have fantasy football drafts tonight, and he's definitely on all our radars.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, I have a couple weeks left before I've convinced everyone, like, we're going to wait until the last possible second.
I'm with you.
Fantasy draft.
Smart man.
So, yeah, I'll let you know. I'll give you the intel.
Thanks for the time, man, and looking forward to hearing from more of you on the field tonight at that Saints practice. You can keep it locked right here on WWL, folks. We're going to be going until 9 p.m. this evening, giving you the latest and greatest from Yulman Stadium. That was Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Thanks, man.
Thank you all.
Going to take a break here on WWL Sports Talk. You folks can chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line if you'd like, 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break right now and come back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Next up for the Saints, Friday night battle with the Cowboys in Dallas. WWL's game day will start at 3 with First Take, me and Charlie Long. Then it's the countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert at 5 p.m. Game time with Deuce and Hoss on the call. And you just heard Jeff Nowak, who will be on the sideline. That starts 7 p.m. After that, the point after with the Cajun Cannon till 1 a.m. Our 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints coverage. Catch all the excitement Friday on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Seeing someone here saying, why talk of Cesar Ruiz like he's an all-pro? Guy needs every rep he can get. And I don't think Jeff was kind of alluding to the fact that he's so good that he doesn't need the reps right now. It's the fact that we know Cesar left the practices out west with an ankle issue. We did kind of see him on the sideline doing some warm-ups with the guys heading into that game against the Rams, which is a positive sign. So right now, I would think the Saints are just would err on the cautious side, wanting all of their offensive line intact because, man, we've seen so many issues over the years. You know it, Mario, with just keeping these guys on the field. And I think just having that starting five for game one is pretty darn important.
Yes, it's very important. And I know a lot of Saints fans are really sensitive to any kind of praise towards Cesar Ruiz. And he definitely needs to be better at times and more consistent. But you definitely want him on the field. And you definitely want him playing well going into the season. So I don't disagree with Jeff at all.
Plus, if there is any kind of downturn in his play or if that injury persists, I want to see more of the rook in Jeremiah Wright.
Yes, hopefully so. Hopefully it's a situation where they're both healthy, and if he still finds his way on the field, great, but you don't want Jeremiah forced into action for sure. You want Cesar on the field to start the season, I think.
Yeah, and we haven't talked a lot about the addition of David Edwards this offseason, and maybe that's a good thing his name hasn't popped up, but I was so happy in free agency when that was one of the first names that the Saints ended up signing because he was obviously at the top of the list. And I was kind of shocked they were able to spend the money to get him and that he was willing to come here.
Yes, but I think it really shows how Kellen Moore wants to build this team. I think he wants to have a strong run game to really run the offense the way that he wants to. And with David Edwards, unfortunately, we're not going to really know about his impact until the regular season starts. So just right. One of those things.
Man, just hopefully he can keep all the running backs healthy too. I know Travis Etienne. We know what he can do. Alvin Kamara, get well soon. Hoping you can get ready for week one. If not, then at least week two in Baltimore. But the rest of the guys, we're going to need those depth pieces as well. Taking a break right now here on Sports Talk. Going to come back with even more. Keep it locked right here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, want to let all you Hoodats know out there that you can join me and Bobby Hebert tomorrow, a special edition of Sports Talk. We're going to be at the Thibodeau, it's in Thibodeau, at the Rouse's Market on South Acadia Street, on South Acadia Road, that is. Make your weekend groceries with us and prepare for Saints finale in Dallas. Also, kickoff of the college football season, week zero, Nicholls State and Mississippi Valley State. Football and food means fun with the Cajun Cannon and myself, 4 to 7 tomorrow. The Rouse's Market, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodeau, right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Going to head to top of the hour news, coming back with another hour here in studio. Going to be talking some fantasy football with Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert at RotoWire will join us. Getting ready for that fantasy frenzy. Mentioned me and Mario have a draft tonight, so we're going to be peppering with some questions that definitely benefit us. And then we'll welcome in Ali Cosell. Little Pelicans talk today. Why? Well, they've added a new guard, Benedict Mathurin, joining the Bird squad. And I don't know, the roster looking hopeful, at least for this season. Hopefully we can stay healthy. That's obviously the biggest key. Taking a break for the top of the hour news, folks. Keep it locked right here on WWL as we get ready for Saints practicing in Yeoman Stadium tonight. You'll hear from Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, and Jeff Nowak as they bring you the latest and greatest from the field in Yeoman Stadium. Coming right back with more sports talk, though, right after this. Keep it locked on WWL.